Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Get on it!
Good sunny morning!
Like
from the Kia Studios, 9 floors up, waiting for the sun to come up on a game day Sunday on this King holiday weekend. Sam Crenshaw with you on this side of the glass. Greg is here, but today he's on the other side of the glass. But you know what? You know what? He's got his track shoes on. So I think at some point we may see him appear on this side of the glass too. You know, not because I'm clairvoyant and can see through walls and know everything. Something just tells me at some point he's going to have the track shoes on and he's going to pop in here and be on this side of the glass. And, you know, and that's the thing.
Thank you, you for know. Game day. Made me wait till 9:30 yesterday.
See,
right
see,
off the shoot, you're going to give it today.
See, folks. See, folks, I told you. See, he's got his track shoes on. He's going to be back and forth in here, and we're going to have that kind of fun this morning. Thanks for joining, waking up with us this morning from 6 until 10. We're getting you set for a big Sunday, a championship Sunday for the National Football League, as we'll find out when the day is done who's on their way to play in the Super Bowl. And that's the big thing that's going to be decided today in the games. Hope you're going to be with us throughout the morning. We're going to be talking about that and more. And later on today, you actually hear the games here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are your place. In case you're out, you're not near TV, or you could be a TV, you just want to listen to how the radio call of the game is going. AFC Championship game, the Tennessee Titans and Kansas City Chiefs. 2 o'clock pregame, 3 o'clock kick. You can hear it right here. And to be followed by the NFC Championship contest. Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Pregame at 6:15 and the kickoff at 6:40 this evening. So those are the two games. You only got two games with the two games that are left today. And then the championship game, of course, Super Bowl coming up in 2 weeks. But that's what we have coming up today. We're going to break down these games. We're going to spin them in every direction and come out with who we think, well, who I think anyway, will be the teams that will advance to the Super Bowl. I mentioned it yesterday and I had a chance to go over some information. I still haven't changed my mind who I think will be in a Super Bowl game. But I think we're in for two exciting games, some contrast in styles today, flash and excitement, and one's just hard-nosed, just going to come right at you, and great defensive plays as well. Great quarterbacks on display today as well. One quarterback is, you know, part of a resurrection of his career, if you will, and not saying he's the reason why the team is where it is, but the fact that he hadn't gotten in the way. And he's done the things that he needs to do. I'm talking about Ryan Tannehill and his reinvention here up in Nashville with the Titans. He's done all the right things and just enough of the right things to give his team the opportunity. They're one win away after back-to-back on the road win. So playing on the road is no big deal. Kansas City is a tough place to win if you're a visiting team, has been for some time. And my goodness, there's so many stories in there as well when you talk about Andy Reid and the times he's come close, and the times when he's had teams that should have won it with great players that should have gotten to the Super Bowl and should have won it. And here he is with the opportunity again. You know, he's that coach that people think about, yeah, he's done this, he's done that, but he's never won. And now he's a win away from getting the chance to do that again. Patrick Mahomes has been in this situation once before. Maybe the experience of that pass is one of the things that's able to lift Kansas City up and get them the victory today, but they're going to have to play their best against a Tennessee team that's just on a roll. You know, a team that's just on a roll and doing for Trent fantastic things. So we're going to get into those games as well. But want to mention, we got more road stuff. I'm looking up at a screen here. And as we do in the mornings when we're on, if there's something bad happening on the roadways, we'll let you know. There's something on 675. If you're down in that part of town that's got a lot of lanes blocked, just be careful if you're going to be out that way. We had a big problem on Highway 400 yesterday morning. It's been rain overnight, and still some slick spots out there on the roadways. So do be careful if you have to be out and about moving around today. If you're traveling today, since tomorrow is a holiday, and many of us have Monday off or we're out of school on tomorrow. So if you're traveling, please be careful. If you work that late shift and you're on your way home, or if you have to go into work today, or if you're heading out to early morning services, maybe in an hour, think about that. There was rain overnight, so drive carefully and give yourself some extra time to get there. Man, this weather's changing. It's the bottom's supposed to drop out. It's supposed to be pretty cold when you wake up tomorrow morning. But those are things that we pass along. And I'm not trying to be Jim Cantore. I never want to try to be Jim Cantore. But you know, when he shows, yes, I'm being asked by Greg. Yeah, he can. The look on Greg's face. And you're from Chicago, man. What's that look doing on your face? You know, I mentioned cold weather. You should have seen the look that came on Greg's face. Dude, you're from the. It's supposed to, the bottom's really supposed to drop out tonight. So just adjust yourselves. Whatever you do to reinforce yourself when the weather's changing, you know, if you drink certain, you know, echinacea, whatever you do to build up your immune system, you might want to get started with a little bit of that. Because we've had these spring-like temperatures here the last week or so, and that's about to change for a few days coming up. So glad you're with us here today. Tomorrow, of course, Atlanta Hawks will be in action playing their annual King Day game. And I'll say annual because there was a season or two when they didn't get to play that game. And I don't know why, because it started here in Atlanta. How about that, folks? You know, of course, Hawks coming off a setback last night against the Detroit Pistons. The night after getting a big win on the road, they come home. And, man, just never got things going. Pistons win it 136-103 over the Hawks. Trae Young, 16.7 rebounds. More on him in the next segment. John Collins with 20 points. Welcome back, Jeff Teague. 25 minutes he plays in his first night back in a Hawks uniform and had 15 points, 7 assists in this effort. But Derrick Rose played like the Derrick Rose of old last night. 27 points effort from them. And Andre Drummond, who had been the subject of trade talks with the Hawks that we haven't heard much in the last week, had 16 points, 17 rebounds. So the Hawks fall in that game. And like I said, they're hosting Toronto tomorrow. By the way, former Hawk Kent Bazemore on the move again, traded from Portland to Sacramento, part of a multiplayer deal that's going to drop some over $12 million in salary. Do you follow the career of Conor McGregor that has been controversial in the octagon, out of the octagon, in the boxing ring, wherever it is? He brings a lot of notoriety, brings a lot of controversy with him. Last night, back in the ring, out in Las Vegas, and wasted no time in getting the win over Donald Cowboy Cerrone in just 40 seconds. TKO, let me see, he did it with his left leg. Nice kick, over. quick ending. In just 40 seconds last night, puts him back on the map as one of the premier fighters in UFC, and you wonder what's next for him. He also talked about wanting to fight Floyd Mayweather again. He also wanted to fight Manny Pacquiao. It seemed like he just wants a big money date, and he just wants to know if it's something that you will reach in your pocket to pay to see. I think that's the thing that that he's waiting to see. So we'll see what happens with that. But that was a big happening last night as far as sports go. Okay, folks, it is an election year. And, of course, we don't talk politics on this show, so we don't tell you how to vote. We're going to make a ringing endorsement for someone who is seeking your vote, and you have to do it by tomorrow. That's coming up next when we continue on this Game Day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Hawks coach Floyd Pierce talking about the return of Jeff Teague back to his team where his career originated. Welcome you back into the Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you up until 10 a.m. on this Championship Sunday day for the National Football League. Of course, basketball is headed toward the middle of its, we've already passed the middle of the season, headed for its All-Star break. And, man, we have a player here in Atlanta that's been leading the vote getting for his position for the All-Star game. We'll talk about that a little bit, talk about him some as well. And you wonder how that kind of impacts Trae Young's role now with Jeff Teague returning to this team. Obviously a veteran point guard, obviously someone who's there that he can lean on some as well. And Teague comes back and jumps right into things with the team, plays 25 minutes, scoring 15.7 assists last night. Not bad for someone who hadn't been with the team for a while, been playing somewhere else. But that's what a veteran is able to do. And that's the type of energy that he could bring for this team and coming back to the town. Instead of the single zero that he played with for so many years, he's playing now with the double zero. But we want to do something here at this segment of our show. Obviously, tomorrow is King Holiday, and you know, the Hawks will be playing tomorrow. You know, for a year or two, the Hawks didn't have a King Holiday game. And I never figured that out because this is where the King Holiday Monday game started for the National Basketball Association. How can they not have a game in Atlanta? We will have one tomorrow, and you'll be able to hear it here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The defending world champion Toronto Raptors will be in town at 2 o'clock pregame with a 2:30 tip that you'll be able to hear here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, the Hawks would appreciate you since tomorrow so many people have the day off. Whatever you may be doing during the day, activity you may be attending, or service you might be rendering, 2:30 is the game time. And, of course, they'd love to see you come down to Phillips Arena. What's it? Phillips Arena. State Farm Arena. And enjoy the game. Enjoy the activity. Enjoy the music they're going to have. Lecrae, inspirational hip-hop artist, is going to perform. People say, how are you going to be inspirational hip-hop? Now, he explained all that because he was here in the Kia Studios this week. He spent some time with John and Hugh. And Tanitra Batiste, and they ask him about those things, and he's going to do that tomorrow as he's performing in the way that he does that is unique and uplifting and should be a great time. And hopefully the Hawks go out and play like they played Friday night, a little more than last night. But back to Trae Young and what he's doing, and this comes as a public service announcement. We here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game are not political. This is an election year. You know, that's like politics, that's down the dial, as Greg likes to say. But we do want to encourage you into an endorsement for someone you need to vote for. And you got to do it by tomorrow, and that is Trae Young for the All-Star Game. All-Star Game voting ends tomorrow. And you want to make sure this guy gets the opportunity to go and represent us. He's doing tremendous things on the court. And I'm going to talk about something he's doing off the court as well, but he's doing tremendous things on the court with his team and lifting the profile of the NBA in our city. People are taking note around the league and around the country at the things that he's doing. And, you know, he deserves it. He deserves it. He's been the leading vote getter for the guard position. And we get some reasons. NBA.com lists some reasons here. I'm going to run down some of the reasons they listed why. And I agree with a lot of these reasons. Why Trae Young deserves to be an All-Star. And what do they say? First of all, he is a star. He is that player. That seems to be that superstar in the making, that guy that makes you look and you want to watch to see what he does next. He has that kind of persona about him. And so for sure, that's one of the reasons why you want to send him. He's that guy. He leads the Eastern Conference in assists. And the way he does it, averaging 8.5 assists per game. So he's doing that in an exciting, flamboyant way that people enjoy seeing, that leaves you saying, did you see that? The Hawks are much more efficient when he's healthy and on the court. There's great things to give this team an opportunity and the chance to do what they did Friday night at San Antonio and come from behind, come from 15 down in the second half to win a big game on the road. So he gives the team the ability to do those type things. He ranks second in the East in points. Averaged 29.2 points per game this season. Only one person has scored more points, and that is Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, with Milwaukee. So he's doing that. That's something else that makes him special. He stretches the defenses to the limits. They try to do things to slow him down, and he still gets his points. He still does those things for the team in the way that he does them. My goodness, he launches some three-pointers sometime from near the mid-court logo. No fear. That's the other thing. Another thing is he has honed his craft. If you think about it, a lot of people talk about Cam Reddish and some of his struggles and how one night he looks great and the next night he looks kind of lost. Well, that was Trae Young the first half of last season. The first half of last season, he was still figuring it out. You got to remember how young these guys are when they come into the league. And he was struggling to figure things out and get some consistency going on and having trouble on the defensive end. And you know, his shot was inconsistent. He's always been great with the handle and the assist, but the shot wouldn't come. And then the shot started falling. You remember he went to All-Star Weekend, raised a lot of eyebrows there, and from there he has continued to evolve into the Trae Young that we see now. So he's really, really worked at improving himself. So those are some of the reasons we think why this guy deserves to be an All-Star and deserves to represent this team. But if that's not enough, How about the things that he does and something that he did recently off the court, just as big? And like we said, tomorrow's King Holiday, and we talk about a day of service. And I'm going to talk later on about some young folks I saw rendering some service this week. And Trey recently helped some struggling families in need to pay off some medical debt. And he got a little news about it. People around here knew about it. But he paid off more than $1 million in medical debt, partnering with RIP Medical Debt. A great donation and tremendous, tremendous deed that he did. So that's something that he's done off the court as well. So like I said, Trey Young, you know, deserves your vote. I am appealing to you to vote with him tomorrow. If you haven't voted already, what are you waiting for? What more do you need to see this man do, both on the court and off and representing our city? I remember talking to him during media day, and I said, why is it so important that you show up at Braves games? He shows up at Atlanta United. He shows up at Falcons and supports all the other teams here in our city. And he said, it's just something that you just do. Nobody, you know, tells him he ought to go to that. He just said, you know, we're all doing the same thing in this community and plugged into the city and plugged into the other teams. He's got friends on the other teams in town. And you see him show up at the games. Sometimes he may be on the field before a Braves game or on the sideline before a Falcons game or Atlanta United. And he's there and he's got a big smile. Matter of fact, we saw him a week ago in Athens at the University of Georgia basketball game. So he's totally enjoyed. He's totally immersed himself into our community. And I think he deserves this opportunity to go and represent us. Now, we talked about Trey going to the All-Star game, but he doesn't want to go by himself. Of course, we know this is Vince Carter's, you know, final season in the National Basketball Association. Had a great, great tribute to him Friday night before the game out in Houston. And he's getting those tributes and honors everywhere he goes, and well-deserved as he plays his final season. But one of his great moments, of course, was winning the slam dunk competition. Now, Trey feels like if he gets to go to the All-Star game, he's trying his best. He's lobbying. He's doing the best he can to try to convince a chance for the opportunity for Carter to return to a very special All-Star weekend event.
I'm still lobbying for it. We'll see if Vince changes his mind or gets up for it. So we'll see. I'm going to still keep going on it.
He's trying to get Vince Carter to come along. I don't know if Vince wants to go and try to do the slam dunk competition again, you know, to go back and do it at United Center up in Chicago. That would be tremendous to see him do that. Of course, his moment of winning the slam dunk competition was one of the all-time great slam dunk contests that Vince won. But just, you know, the way he's wrapping up this season, to go to places where he played, to go back and play for Orlando, down to play in Orlando near his hometown, to go back and play up with the Nets, to go back to the different teams he's played with, will be special, obviously, with Toronto and then playing Toronto tomorrow. But to see how he was honored Friday night and then to see Tim Duncan, someone that he's known for a very long time there, to greet him, Duncan, now on the coaching staff with San Antonio. These guys have gone toe-to-toe going back to their college days when Duncan was at Wake Forest and Carter was at North Carolina. And I can say those were some incredible games because at the time I lived and worked in North Carolina and I witnessed a lot of those games in person. They were remarkable, remarkable contests. And to see those two together and give each other a big embrace after that game was kind of bring some things full circle. Still say Tim Duncan looks odd being a coach, but, you know, that's what he's doing. And it was good to see those two together again. So let's see if Vince will make another stop through the All-Star game weekend. I don't know if Trey's going to be able to get to do it. Nevertheless, Trey is on his way, we think, with more votes tomorrow, before the voting ends, to go in and help send Trey Young to the All-Star game. That is our public service announcement for us here weekend mornings here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Okay, now, of course, today is all about football. You know, that's what's happening, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the two games. As I said earlier, we're going to find out who ends up playing in the Super Bowl. But when the football ends, something else happens that I will be equally as excited about. And shout out to some people who are in town, have been here this weekend. The United States Tennis Association Southern Section has been holding their meeting here in town this weekend. So shout out to all the people who do things for the sport of tennis and help promote it, help teach it, help grow the game, and help make it available to people all over to come out and participate in it. Tonight, our time will be, you know, Monday morning, their time in Australia. And through the smoke and the haze, they're going to start playing the Australian Open Tennis Championship. This is the first major of 2020. There are so many backstories of players who are there, players who are playing their last tournament there, who end in their careers, players who are there to try to chase history, both the men's side and the women's side. And then there, you know, in a classic matchup of changing of the guard that we will get, we saw at Wimbledon, that we will see tonight to get things started, that I think a lot of people are going to want to stay up late to kind of watch. In spite of all the tennis, there's still the backdrop of the brush fires, the smoke and the haze. Will it be a health factor? Will it be a health factor for the spectators as well as for the players? There's been a lot of concern for it, but still, the show is going to go on. They're all set to play tennis. It should be an exciting time to watch. Karen Pestana is getting set to join us in the next segment, Tennis Panorama News, and she's going to give us a preview of what she feels like we're going to see over the next 2 weeks, start this season, what drama is there, which there's sure to be a lot. She's going to join us in the coming segments, so you stay with us as we get set to talk Australian Open Tennis Championship and talk about who's going to win, who's going to advance. Will history be made down under, where it's summertime? We're talking about the temperature is about to drop here. Temperature is going to be in the mid-80s, probably the 90s there. Yeah, it's that kind of test this time of year. We're going to talk about that and more with Karen when we continue on this Game Day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. A little music from Down Under to get us in the mood for what's going to start in just a few hours now. First tennis major of 2020. Australia Open. The person we always love to go to talk tennis this time of year joins us now on the WadeForIt.com hotline. Good morning, Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama News.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Are you ready for the first major of the year?
First major of the year, first major of the new decade.
Really is.
Doesn't that sound scary?
You're right about that. There are so many stories for this tournament going in, but the atmosphere and the weather, and not just the weather, but those brush fires seem to be something that's kind of going to be literally hovering over the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, earlier last week during the qualifying matches, there were a few days in which there was a player or two that had to basically retire from their match because they were overcome by smoke. I mean, it's crazy. From what I'm hearing now is that it's pretty clear, but you just never know. You just never know when things will blow over or blow over the tournament. And I don't think there's a contingency plan, really, in terms of what if it's a smoky day, do they suspend play? Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Will be interesting to see, and that's going to be the backdrop of everything, in addition to tennis and so many stories that they were looking for. Is there one? Which one to you is the number one story going into this event?
Well, I guess, there are a few stories. But for me, looking, everyone, of course, is always so focused on Djokovic, Nadal, and Federer. But for me, I'm looking at the second quarter of the women's draw, which, if this were the World Cup, it would be the second quarter group of death, because there's so many women piled into that quarter of the draw that are former major winners. I mean, you have Serena in that quarter. You have Venus and Coco Gauff playing each other again. You have Sloane Stephens, former major winner. Sam Stosur, former major winner. Carolyn Wozniacki, who's going to retire from tennis after this tournament, who's also in that quarter of the draw. It's just crazy. And, of course, the defending champion, Naomi Osaka, is also in that quarter of the draw. That is just crazy.
And I'm looking at somebody. I look at Maria Sharapova. You didn't even mention her.
Yeah, she's over on the other side of the draw in what's the third quarter. But she's over there. But she has a tough first rounder against a 19th seed, Dana Vekic. But I mean, that side of the draw, it is what it is, the bottom half of the draw. But that top half, especially the second quarter, is just crazy.
Yeah.
And the fact that Venus and Coco are playing each other the first round of a major again is just crazy.
Yeah, what do you think of that? We saw that at Wimbledon, and it's hard to forget those images that we saw from that match. What, if anything, do you think happens with this one, and could it go differently, do you think, for Venus, or you think it will be more of the same?
I think it's a toss-up. Again, you have Venus, who is the veteran, who I guess should win this match, but again, she's playing a 15-year-old, and a 15-year-old that's actually beaten her. And if I'm Coco going into this match, I'm like, you know what? I have nothing to lose. And that's the way she was going into Wimbledon, so who knows? It's a toss-up, but I think, though, more of the pressure would be on Venus because she's seen this kid before, and she knows the kid can beat her.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know how many people are considering her a kid the second time around. Maybe the first time around. The second time around, they're seeing her in a big event. I don't think they see her as a kid anymore. She was impressive.
No, that is true. That is true. But still, she's still just 15 years old. People forget that.
Yeah, yeah. She, along with a number of players, have made a pledge to help with the brush fire relief. I know Serena donated her earnings from the win she had a couple of weeks ago, and I think Coco has pledged for every ace that she serves. She and her shoe company are going to match that. Thoughts about the players getting involved and doing what they can to be charitable at this event?
Yeah, it all began with Nick Kyrgios. He's the one who basically brought up, well, you know, I'm going to donate $100 for every ace I hit, and then he challenged other players to do the same. And pretty much a lot of them are on board. And there have been also a couple of players who don't necessarily hit aces a lot who say they'll pledge $100 for every double fault they hit, which I think is rather funny. But on top of that, both Nadal and Federer said together during the rally for relief, actually Nadal announced it, that they would be giving together $250,000.
Wow.
So that's a nice chunk of change out of their pockets. But yeah, I got to credit Nick Kyrgios, though, with starting this among the players. I have to give him that credit. You know, a lot of people, he's much maligned by people, but
yeah.
You can't malign him in this case.
Yeah, spending time on the waitfor.com outline with Karen Pistana. We always talk tennis with you. You can follow on Twitter at Tennis News TPN, at Tennis News TPN. All right, let's talk about Mama. She finally got a tournament win a couple of weeks ago. I mean, we talk about her winning a major. She hadn't won a tournament in a while. She got a tournament win. Talk about what that does for Serena going into this event.
Well, it definitely gives her some confidence because of her last win before that was the final of the Australian Open in 2017 when she was pregnant. She hadn't even had her child yet. I think it will give her a boost of confidence coming in. So since she's off the, you know, off the slide of not winning a tournament for almost 3 years, I think it will help her. And she's in that that quadrant of death, so to speak, with all those seeds and former major winners and everything. But Serena is Serena. You can never count her out of anything.
Yep.
We'll see how it goes.
We will see. We will see how it goes, and it all gets started in just a few hours. Karen, thank you so much for spending some time. We'll be checking back in with you as the smoke clears, hopefully, in Australia. We get to have great tennis for the next couple of weeks. Thanks, as always.
All right. Thanks so much.
Sports Radio, 99 The Game and 99thegame.com. Sam Crenshaw with you. Into our second hour, 9 floors up in the Kia Studios, waiting for the sun to come up on a game day Sunday because it is Championship Weekend and Championship Sunday from the National Football League. So glad you're with us here till 10 a.m. this morning. Sam Crenshaw on this side of the glass. Greg is on the other side of the glass. But just moments ago, he was on this side of the glass with me. Like I said, he's got his track shoes on, and he's managing to go back and forth at some points during the morning. Hope you continue to stay with us today. And we talk because we have Deshaun Tate coming up this hour. And later in this hour, Chuck Wiley, we hope to join us, former Falcon defensive end and also proud LSU alum. Would join us to talk about championship, but I think we'll get him to talk a little bit about the LSU Tigers. I think he might even be able to say it like Coach, go Tigers. He might be able to say that too. So we'll see what happens. He joins us later on this hour here in the studio. Looking forward to seeing him. Looking forward to having him. My goodness, we talked basketball earlier about NBA. That's coming up. A little rundown of the college results. And yesterday was a kind of a rough day, and Deshaun Tate's going to talk about this more in the hour. Rough day for basketball yesterday around here. My goodness, Tech at home falls to Virginia, 63-58 final score. Jackets now 8-10 on the year. Georgia going on the road, thinking they would go down there, and they were never really in the game with Mississippi State. 91-59, Mississippi State the winner over Georgia. So they didn't get a win yesterday. Georgia State playing at Troy. Troy came into the game, I think, with only 7 wins. Troy beats Georgia State 75-65. State is now 13-7 on the year. Georgia Southern falls at South Alabama. South Alabama beats them 74-68. Southern's record now at 12-8. Mercer managed to win over at Samford 90-75. And Kennesaw State took it on the chin up at New Jersey, NJIT 66-48 is some of the college basketball scores to mention to you. Also, tomorrow obviously is a big day for high school basketball around the area. A number of high school events take place. Yesterday, Kyle Sandy, the event with Sandy Spiel, had their big event up at Lanier High School, successful. A lot of great teams in action there. Last weekend, we heard about the event that's going to take place tomorrow over at Holy Innocence, and it should be fantastic. Going to have two gyms going, a lot of top teams, boys and girls programs going, and they're making it being something special, being that it's King Holiday tribute. I think they're going to have the essay contest they've done. One of the Freedom Riders is due to make an appearance, so it's going to be something historic as well as great basketball going on there. I understand there are a couple of other events. I think one in the city over at Maynard Jackson High School, they got a MLK holiday basketball event going on there. Out in Douglasville at Douglas County High School, there's one going on as well. Full slates. They have two gyms going at that one. It should be a lot of great activity. So if you want to get out and catch some great high school matchups, and some of those matchups you don't usually get to see once we get in, you know, almost exclusively into a region play here going as we wind down the final few weeks of the regular season and look ahead to tournament time. You want to be playing your region games, but this is the last chance for a lot of teams to kind of sharpen themselves up and challenge themselves against a team from another classification or a team from another part of town, another region that they wouldn't get a chance to face, or maybe a team from another city that drives in to play since we have the day off tomorrow. So be on the lookout for some great, entertaining high school basketball action that's going on around our area coming up tomorrow. High school note came out this week, too. Georgia High School Association, first time this year at the state championships will take place in Macon, March 6th and 7th. During the state championship weekend, 6th and 7th, they're going to have a first slam dunk and three-point contest. And it should be a lot of fun. It's going to get things started. And starting tomorrow, the way they're going to do things with the video, with the slam dunk competition, you're going to submit a video of the slam dunk that you're going to do. So listen up, your parent, your player, your coach, you got somebody that's always in the gym trying to do a little showing off before practice or after practice, and they start accepting the videos for round one starting tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, you can submit these to GHSA, GHSA.net through February 2nd, and that's how they're going to start process of elimination. Who advances to the next round through the slam dunk. So it's going to be done through social media, obviously, but they want people to know tomorrow you start submitting your slam dunk. So if you got one, you got from January 20th through February 2nd to get those in. And like I said, the live championship final will be conducted on Saturday, March 7th at the 6A Boys Championship game, the 7A Girls Championship game at the Macon Centralplex. You put it on Vimeo, Vine, Instagram, YouTube. Those are different ways, formats you can submit them on. Also, for the girls, going to be a three-point competition. Once one classification, there are going to be some elimination rounds. You can go register. See, you can start the 8 quarterfinal rounds be held throughout the state starting on Saturday, February 2nd. And the registration at each of the sites at 9 a.m. The contest will start at 9:30. So if you think you got what it takes to represent your team and you're a great three-pointer, a girl who can shoot that three-point shot, the locations where they're going to be doing this, they're all over the place here. Tiff County Beach, Perry High School, Armurchie, that's Banks County, Butler high school down toward Augusta. North Metro is Etowah, and South Metro is Monday's Meal. So if you're in the Metro Atlanta area, the North Metro area, go to Etowah High School, and the South Metro goes to Monday's Meal High School. That's where you go for the competition. There, get registered on the site. The contest will start at 9:30 on Saturday, February 1st. Something new and different they're adding to the championship week that will take place in Macon in March. Something else other than just the championship games, some more entertainment and something else fun that the GHSA is coming up with for us, and we're happy for that. Guys, a note, I guess a mixed emotion kind of note. Some of you say it's kind of sad, but it makes me smile. The boxing fans, if you were a boxing fan in this area, you know the name Vernon Forrest, and he left us a few years back tragically after being robbed. Yesterday, given an honor posthumously, inducted into the Georgia Boxing Hall of Fame. And I'm happy for this. I'm happy for his family. He's only 38 years old at the time, but had done quite a bit. World championship boxer, won the title twice, beating Sugar Shane Mosley on two occasions. Boxing the United States Olympic team in 1992, and it made his home here in Atlanta. And just someone that I'd known since he was a kid, boxing in the Augusta Boxing Club, and was always happy to see his achievements and very proud of what he had done. And was sad the way he left us, but it makes us smile some to know that he was remembered yesterday. This induction took place over in Marietta yesterday. So Vernon Forrest inducted into the Georgia Boxing Hall of Fame. Should have been there, but glad that they are remembering him and honoring him in this way. On this weekend that we do celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and it brings to mind so many different things. And you'll hear some of this if you go to the Hawks game tomorrow. You'll hear some remarks. You'll hear some songs. You'll hear some things very inspirational. As so much happens in our city, and rightfully so, this being his hometown. Had a chance to go around to a school this week. Tip of the cap to the folks at the Westminster School. And they were having a day of service for the young people. And this was at the lower school. These are the little people, you know, first, second graders and you know, in school. And so it was neat to see the things that they were doing to render an act of service, to serve someone. You say, what can a first grader do? First graders were doing something very cool. They were writing letters, and they were going to send them to the men and women of our military. And you know, how cool is that? If you're somewhere around the country or around the world serving, and you get this package, it opens up, and you got this letter from this first grader who's, you know, you've been around first grade, you know what first grade artwork can look like. But some of it was pretty impressive. And some got really creative because they were told it was going to be going to people who are serving the country, and do they want to send something to them that will make their day, something that will make them smile, something that will make them laugh, and for a moment or two take their minds off of probably where they are and what they're having to do. And it was neat to see the first graders just really roll up their sleeves and get those determined looks on their faces and draw those things. It's an act of service. And then the school was doing something. They were preparing, and those letters were going out through Operation Gratitude is who they were going to get to that will distribute those letters to the servicemen and women. And then Raise Against Hunger had something where they were just assembling food and preparing it and packaging it and sealing it up, weighing it and everything. And it was like a workstation. They turned their gymnasium into a workstation. And everybody came in and measured just the right amount of the rice and whatnot and put it in the plastic packages and sealed it up. And it was something to see. And I'm there with a camera, obviously, with a TV camera. And so the kids don't think about the camera at all. They get so engrossed in what they're doing and so focused on the teamwork of doing this and tackling this task, knowing that this food was going to go to some people who were in need in a country that's underfunded. And they were just there and just worked to do it. So it was neat seeing that. And like those, this through Race Through Hunger is going to distribute the foods that were prepared for the young people. But it was just, you know, something that you saw that made you smile and made you think these young people get it, that it's all about serving and serving somebody else and doing something to lift somebody else up. So it was cool getting a chance to see young people getting that message and doing it in their own way is what they can do at very young ages. Folks, hey, everybody can do something to serve. Don't have to be great to do it. That's the theme of what Dr. King's Holiday is all about. Okay, coming up next, we're going to talk some hoops with the man who is our hoopologist here at Sports Radio 929 The Game. Deshaun Tate's coming up straight ahead. You stay with us on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sports Radio 929 The Game and 929TheGame.com. Sam Crenshaw, we're still waiting for the sun to come up. It should be a nice day today after the rain last night and yesterday and into the night. But later today, the temperature is going to drop, and I understand the next three mornings is going to be in the 20s. So bundle up and wrap it up if you're going to head out. Of course, basketball is happening around the area. That's inside. Don't have to worry about the elements. Just have to get to the gyms, to the location, the arenas to enjoy it. And a man who always manages to find his way into the arenas joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Our hoopologist, Deshaun Tate, good morning to you.
Happy Sunday morning to you. Appreciate you for having me on, Brother Crenshaw.
Hey, always good to catch up with you. But, man, yesterday was kind of painful. If you follow basketball around here, it was rather harsh Saturday, wasn't it?
Man, I'm talking about it was heartbreaking a little bit, you know, for me to be the person that's always beating the basketball drum and trying to get people to look into some more hoops, and then Georgia Tech, Georgia State, and UGA and the Hawks, and everybody's taking an L. But I like to think of the turnaround relatively soon.
Yeah, well, we hope so, because you were looking for great things to happen, looking for some better and different outcomes, and definitely, especially after the Hawks did what they did Friday night. I thought that, you know, last night excluded, the Hawks had a pretty good week getting the win over Phoenix and started to look a little bit more like the team that we hoped they could be when the season began.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that things will tend to start turning around once we get to a point that we can get some of the rookies, most notably Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, on the same page and playing well at the same time consistently in back-to-back games. But this is a team that, you know, was coming off of a back-to-back, and that's a tad bit harsh already as it is. You know, in addition to that, it's a Detroit Pistons team that they've beat in the past. I'm telling you, coming off a very emotional win against the San Antonio Spurs, who they also had beaten earlier in the season. I thought that it could be something that could be different for them, but there's a lot of games yet still ahead. Just can't allow a team like the Detroit Pistons, the bad boys, and trust me, literally, that's exactly what they are. They're really bad, to hang 136 on you on your home floor.
Yeah, that's harsh. That was harsh. And I guess some people were looking at Andre Drummond last night, too, had been the subject of trade rumors. I guess those talks have kind of gone away, or whatever was there. Seems like it's not there. We don't hear that much these days.
Yeah, no, you don't. I think that that's one of the things. You know, we already heard about Andre Drummond kind of making it public and coming out and being vocal, saying that, you know, he loves Detroit and he wants to be a Piston. I guess you don't hear that every day. But he certainly wasn't talking about the weather, I can guarantee you that. But he said he doesn't want to go anywhere. And following that, you know, the Atlanta Hawks also said last week that they wanted to be the ones to kind of pull out and maybe pursue someone else. So I think it'll be interesting to see what direction the Hawks go, because, you know, I'm not sure if Jeff Teague exactly is what Trey Young had in mind when he made it clear that he wanted some more help as well. I think he was kind of talking about the front court. It'll be interesting the closer that we get to the trade deadline.
You surprised like I was by that, that Teague's back here in town?
I was. I really was. I'm not surprised by the fact that they went and got someone that's experienced to back up Trey Young, regardless as to how good Brandon Goodwin had been. But I am surprised of the person that they did select. I thought ideally they should have maybe been trying to make a little bit of a run at a guy who's retired but made it known that he wanted to come back to either of the LA teams, that being Darren Collison. So, but nonetheless, it definitely is good that they got some help in the backcourt for Trey Young with a guy who's already familiar with the organization.
Yeah, and that is Jeff Teague, who came out and played 25 minutes his first night back last night. I was spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Deshaun Tate, talking hoops as always. All right, now to the college game. And, you know, we talked about each week who's going to be number one, and it seems like, okay, your number one team won, your number two won, two team won. But after that, my goodness, the ranked teams were falling yesterday. What does that say about this season?
It's crazy just to think about it. You know, I've been saying this quite a little while. It seems like we're already experiencing. We don't have to wait for March to witness our March Madness. It's been March Madness every single month, you know, every single week almost. And I think that is good. The interesting part is that when you look at the last few years, you've got, you know, all of the hype that came along with Trae Young and a lot of his games being cut in on, or his highlights and stuff being cut in on NBA games. And then following that up with, you know, Zion Williams. And this year, you don't really have that player. This year, you don't really have that team either. But I think that it's a good thing. It's what it's about. It is the unpredictability that is college basketball. I know some people may not love it, but I challenge some people to embrace it because it helps certain teams in situations like this. Teams like Georgia and other teams that, you know, might be on the outside looking in that'll have a better chance of getting in because the teams above them not necessarily doing so good. So when you have those number three, number four, and number five ranked teams on Butler's and Duke's and a few other teams, some of those teams fall down, and it makes it look a little bit better for the teams right underneath them.
Yep. Talking to DeShawn Tate. You can follow him on Twitter. He is social at Tate's Take Hoops. Tate's Take Hoops. You can follow him. He's got podcasts. He's got all kinds of things that he writes and lets you know about basketball in the game at all levels, but especially the college game and following Atlanta Hawks here in town. This week, DeShawn, they rolled out the plan for Final Four weekend, and I know that's going to be – we're all coming over. Everybody's coming to stay at your place that week, right, when the Final Four comes to town. April 3rd through 6th.
Can we all... you can make an effort. You can try. You can try, but I think that you have a little bit better luck elsewhere. I can almost guarantee you that.
The plan is quite elaborate, as you well know, and a lot of things that people can go to for free, which I think is remarkable, from concerts outside. You got to play a little something for the Fan Fest. But not only are you going to get the Division I semifinals and championship games, but you get the D2 and the D3 championship games and an all-star game, seniors as well. There's going to be so much going on that week. I know you can't wait, but March Madness is on its way, and it's going to culminate here. And they're laying out a fantastic game plan for everybody.
Yeah, I'm excited already. It's like I'm not even here, Brother Crenshaw. I'm already there. It's like I'm just on the other end of the phone. It's just my voice. Like I'm physically already over there, ready for it's March Madness for me already, man. I'm really excited about it, and I just can't wait until everybody gets in town and just, you know, everything that's going to come along with the month of March. I'm going to tell you why I love it so much, and I promise I'm going to make this really quick. It brings people together. You know, it is the most unpredictable 3 weeks in sports, but with everything that goes on in the world and politics and everything else, it is the little bit of time when Selection Sunday rolls around that people roll those brackets out and everybody gets together and start, you know, in the workplace and families and friends, and it just pulls people together, man. I think that's probably one of the more parts that I love about it the most, actually.
And I think it's also the chance that week when a lot of people disappear for lunch and they don't come back to work.
I would be one of those. I got my hand in the air. I know this is radio, you can't see me, but I got my hand in the air.
But talk about this year, because to me it sets the stage, really, the way we're seeing some teams at the top fall and instability at the top spot in the polls. Well, Gonzaga's been there for a minute. But the deal is it sets the stage for another team like a Loyola Chicago, to me, to come in. You know, a team like that that may not even be on your map right now can come to town and be in this tournament and end up playing their way here to the Final Four. To me, that's always the excitement. Yeah, we know we like to see the Dukes, you know, and the teams that are always around and being a part of it. And you, of course, want to see Michigan State make it here. But, you know, the idea of a team like that being a part of it, and to me, this year seems to be prime for a team like that to make it.
It does. And, you know, what's crazy about it is I don't know if they're just peaking early or if this is, like, a real team or exactly what it is. But, I mean, that team kind of looks like a San Diego State right now.
Yeah, how about that?
I know the last unbeaten team in the country right now, which is crazy to think, but, you know, even more so on top of that, I think that for me personally, that team is probably Dayton. I feel the best about a team like Dayton being that team that can make a run like that and at least contend for a national championship, put themselves in position anyways. But that's what the tournament is all about. You know, the tournament is just really about not knowing. Just when you think that it's going to look like this, it's going to be like that, you know, and so... You know, a lot of years we've seen where it looks like, you know, you go off and you start pulling off all these upsets on your bracket, and then it ends up turning out to not be that. It ends up being a lot of chalk. So, you know, it's really interesting 3 weeks. It's going to be a ton of fun, but in terms of the teams, you know, we do like to see our blue bloods, and we kind of favor that direction a little bit. However, it is always good to kind of see some competition and to see some upsets and whatnot. You know, we've seen Butler do it a couple times, and George Mason, and BCU, and like you said, Loyola Chicago. And that's the part that it probably loves the most.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what conferences you feel like are having the strongest performances now, Ben? The SEC has had some strong moments as well. Kentucky right in the ship, they're getting a win. Auburn has dropped a couple now. But what conferences are really standing out to you? People usually always say the ACC. Is it the ACC this time?
No, it's not. And unfortunately, North Carolina has a huge part to do with a lot of that. And even in the SEC, where, you know, typically you can definitely bank on Kentucky, but you know, the SEC has been banking on Auburn a little bit because Florida hasn't been the team that a lot of people expected for them to be this year. The toughest one, I got to say, easily is the Big Ten for sure. And you know, when you're looking at it, it's one of those things where you can't afford to assume that you're going to get a win. I mean, it's crazy to think that there's been less than two handfuls of wins in that conference by anybody traveling on the road. It seems like the home teams have been kind of, you know, doing what they're supposed to do, but it's hard to go into someone else's arena and get a win. And, you know, outside of Nebraska, who's at the bare bottom of the conference right now, I mean, it's just really a lot of competition. And outside of that, you have the Big East, and Big East has been looking really good between Villanova and Butler and DePaul. And there's been Georgetown has been on a little bit of a run with Patrick Ewing. There's just been so many good teams, but I think those two stick out to me the most, kind of like a sore thumb, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of great basketball has been played, but still a lot yet to come. And it's saying, so you know what? Watch and see what happens going forward. Always great to catch up with you, Sean. Tell people what you're going to have coming up this week. You got something special coming up for us?
Yeah, man, for MLK week, man, tomorrow we've got I'm looking forward to covering, you know, the Toronto Raptors coming into town against the Atlanta Hawks to see if they can turn things around a little bit. And then following that, the Clippers are coming to town, a team that a lot of people think is the front runner to win the NBA championship on Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday. So I think that that'll be really exciting as well. And appreciate all the interaction on social media at Tate's Take Hoops on the Twitter, TateStakeHoops. And while we're still at it, you have just another day or two to go ahead and put in your vote for Trae Young. Maybe I think one of these days counts as two votes. So, you know, you have a day or two still to do that, but I want to try and beat that drum as loud as possible because this is a guy that deserves it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Deshaun, thanks so much for everything, man.
Thank you much.
All right, that is Deshaun Tate, like keeping up with everything and hoops. Back with more after this.
We played against him, so we know what he brings, and it wasn't that long ago that we played him. So, listen, the guy's been playing for a long time here, you include training camp. So, if you're in hitting shape, you're in hitting shape now. So,
Chiefs coach Andy Reid and the guy he's talking about hitting shape, Derrick Henry. Yeah, he's been doing a lot of hitting them with the running back from the Tennessee Titans. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam Crenshaw with you on this side of the glass. Greg's on the other side of the glass. And as I promised you earlier in our show, pleased to be joined by in-studio guest, former Falcon and proud LSU alum, Chuck Wiley. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you in here this morning. You and your son. It's great to have you all here visiting with us this morning. And I got to get you, when you get down to Championship Sunday in the NFL, it's the best of the best, and the teams that have survived to get here. Thoughts about what we're going to see later on today?
My vision is always for playoff football is going to be great defenses. You're going to see a lot of running the ball, controlling ball control. Got teams are going to secure that win so they can punch their ticket. So it's going to be, and with the running backs in there, it's going to be some physical football.
Talk about that. You got a team in Tennessee that a lot of people before the playoffs started were like, huh, maybe not. Talk about a team that's on a roll like that. on momentum, and they won in some places people figured they weren't supposed to play. They weren't supposed to win in New England. They weren't supposed to win last week in Baltimore. But they're riding the back of this hot running back, and you talk about that running game.
Yeah, and I'm going to give credit, too, for Mike Vrabel as well. You got to think of a person that's been around that Patriot system, so he knows what's going on. He knows the ins and outs. And if you watch them, they do similar things where just dink and dunk, run the ball control, because Patriots all year throw the ball. Then all of a sudden they just start running the ball with their previous backs back in the past and stuff. So this year with Derrick Henry, man, I mean, he's setting some records. I remember watching this kid at Yulee in high school. I mean, he's doing the same things where he's just pounding it down people's throat. And you watching people trying – I just keep wondering why everybody keeps tackling him so high. He's 6'3", and you try to tackle him high, and he's stiff-arming people like crazy.
Yes, but that said, anything Kansas City can do today to slow him down, because he is a big part of Tennessee's defense, because the defense is to keep Mahomes on the sideline. And so ball control, he's obviously a big part of the defensive strategy as well.
Well, I would say this with Kansas City. Kansas City's defense is different from what it was last year. You add some pieces like Tyrann Mathieu that's going to make a lot of big plays. Great in coverage. He does a lot of great things for their defense. But the thing is, what Kansas City has to do is continue to throw that ball, continue to push it and make some plays down the field with all that speed. They call it the Kansas City track team.
That's
the Chiefs track team. So, I mean, they got some speed on there. But I think they're going to do a solid job. I want to say Kansas City is going to hold up. You're not going to totally stop Derrick Henry, but you got to try to control him a little bit. At least he's going to get all those carries, but you got to control him in certain situations. Can't just let him pound it and run it down your throat.
You know, Sam, I had to come in here because we're always interested, especially when we get defensive players, Chuck, in here. Mm. Who was that Derrick Henry when you played? That one dude when you were in that game's like, man, I really don't want to tackle him. Not that you was afraid of him, but it's just hard to get him to the ground.
Well, I would say when we played Pittsburgh, you had Jerome. It was one of them like, man, you were hitting him and them big thighs kept bucking your head. I mean, hit him low. I said, I did.
It's kind of like the guy in the TV spot who's trying to get his flag, right? I got your flag. I got your flag. It's falling down. It was like that going up against him.
He was a low to knock down and rest up. You know, back in the day, you had a lot of those little quick backs like Marshall Faulk and all those different guys that really were solid. But I just remember the bus. The bus was like, I literally remember this, we playing them, and we had that's when they had the AstroTurf at the stadium, and we had those big Destroyer turf shoes on. Literally, we were in the snow, and I remember, and I always tease him, I got off one of my old teammates from college, Alan Faneca, got off the block, and I hit Jerome, and I remember I hit him, and I started sliding. I said, I'm going backwards. And I hit him solid, but I mean, it was just no grip, no traction on the field.
Wow. Wow, members, folks. We're spending some time this morning. I got Chuck Wiley in studio, former Falcon defensive end and also proud LSU alum. Well, we will let him talk about his Go Tigers. We'll let him talk about that a little later on, not yet. In the other game today, we're talking 49ers, and they're taking on the Packers. And of course, you got a veteran quarterback that's been there many times before. He doesn't have the cast of characters that he usually has at Green Bay, and boy, talk about a pass rush. He's going to face one today from San Francisco.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, man, and it's crazy. You know, I coached a couple of those kids like during when they were in high school. I saw a lot of these kids, Derrick Henry, all these kids during the Nike camps when they were in high school. And just to see some of these guys like Briston Buckner, I remember he was a 6'8 basketball player from Punahou High School in Honolulu. That's President Obama's old high school. Yeah. And to see how big he's gotten and thick, and now you see him making plays. Big Solomon down there from Stanford. Just you watching these guys grow and just seeing what they're doing. And I mean, you got to think about San Francisco did the right thing. They started with the foundation and got the defensive line in order. They got all the different pieces. They snagged my man from here from Atlanta, the running back.
Coleman.
Yeah, wow. I was like that. I thought that really hurt us because we didn't have that 1-2 punch with Freeman. But they put the right pieces together, and it's working. I was going to say with Kyle Shanahan, you see wherever he's been, he had Matt Ryan over here, league MVP, and then now you got Garoppolo playing.
Are you surprised at how well things have gone with him?
Not really. Because, yeah, I remember he's a coach's kid. I mean, he's been around it his whole life. You watched him. He played it, and you see him with his dad. And believe me, I know his dad – sits there and give him notes and help and counsel. And his dad is a Super Bowl winning coach as well. And then you got to think about it. him himself with his resume. He's been to the Super Bowl. He didn't win it, but he was at the Super Bowl with the Falcons. So right. He has game experience. You have John Lynch in the front office that's won a Super Bowl, that's played at a high level in Tampa. So he's surrounded by great people, and I think that's what's really helped him and elevated him. And then on top of that, it really pays off. You got the last couple of first-round picks. I think you should be pretty solid with that talent.
Yeah,
you know?
They're very solid. They're very solid. People said that before the season, and pretty much here they are going true to form, making it to the conference championship game. Anything Green Bay can do today?
What Green Bay can do, I mean, it sucks that they're not playing in Green Bay, because I know if they're playing in Green Bay, I would favor them. But Green Bay has really been solid with their running game. The new kid has been coming in there busting his tail. Aaron Rodgers is not, let's say like this, he's controlling the game. He's not throwing those crazy numbers like he did back in the day, but he's still making plays down the field. He's still, like, when they need that one throw, that one catch, he's finding the big tight ends. He's making the necessary plays needed, and he's playing good, sound football. And you ever watch him, he's very calm. He's very relaxing. Like, we're going to get this. So, and don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm really rooting on him because I like Aaron Rodgers. I just remember watching him play. And I think when I was going out, he was just coming in. And you root for a guy that's been around, that's been doing his thing for a long time. And I want him to keep his legacy going. I think he should have had at least three by now. But I really believe he's going to give him a good game. It may be a surprise this weekend. Okay. I mean today.
All right, you're here. We're going to go to the top of the hour. We're going to dive back into the NFL talk. I'm so glad you're here in studio, mm-hmm. Chuck Wiley here in studio. We're going to talk more NFL talk, and we're going to talk about LSU. I promise. We're going to let him talk about LSU too. But coming up next, we're going to take a break, give some chance for people to get some cash in your pocket. The casting call with Greg straight ahead on this game day Sunday morning here on Sports Radio 1990 Game and 1990game.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.